With over six decades of experience supplying some of our favorite Kentucky restaurants, Seaworth Superstore is one of the most respected names in the industry. But don't take my word for it. Let our happy customers tell you themselves.
This is Doug Breeding. I'm co-owner of Henry Clay's Public House. There's no way you get a walk-in down in the basement. Alan Wilson from Seaworth says, I can help you. He took it apart. They brought it in piece by piece, put it back together, hooked it up. It works. We're using it. It was great.
Hello, this is Dave Spreitzer, owner and operator of Campus Pub in the Waller Center. When we opened in 2004, Seaworth was one of our first calls, and 9 years later, we still count on them for their expertise and knowledge of the industry. They have great quality products, great showroom, and their follow-through can't be beat.
Hi, my name's Abe Lansdale, owner and chef of Winchell's Restaurant in Lexington, Kentucky. At Seaworth, they made the business dealing so comfortable that we felt like going any other direction wouldn't be worth our while. They just make it a real simple transition for whatever your needs may be.
Seaworth Superstore, 269-5964, or online anytime at seaworthsuperstore.com.
Food News and Choose here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start. Followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at Brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
Success in the hospitality industry calls for the right ingredients and the right preparation. Now you can prepare yourself for career success with a degree in hotel and restaurant management from Sullivan University. Learn from Sullivan's award-winning industry experts on campus or online and get the knowledge you need to manage a successful hospitality career. See how our associate and bachelor's programs prepare you to succeed at sullivan.edu.
This is Food News and Chews for Azura Restaurant and Patio, and I'm about to make you very hungry. To make one of Azura's signature dishes, we take fresh cold water lobster and mix it with lots of squeezed lemon juice, triple cream cheese, and a pile of fresh sliced scallions. We cook this mixture delicately in a light, fluffy crepe shell until slightly golden brown on the outside, but still soft, delicate, and warm on the inside. We finish the dish with a sweet and tangy tropical guava sauce made from the ripest South American fruit. Guava has hints of apple, strawberry, and pear flavors. Imagine tasting that combination. I apologize if I made you hungry, but you have to try this award-winning dish. Stop by Azura Restaurant and Patio in the Beaumont Center, and I'll make it up to you with some of the freshest flavors you've ever experienced. While we definitely have worldly inspired cuisine, I guarantee you there's nothing like the local flavors of Kentucky-raised products, which are the guiding light of Azura's menu. Azura Restaurant and Patio is located at 3070 Lakecrest Circle in Beaumont Center off of Harrodsburg Road. Check out www.azurarestaurant.com for special events like our Saturday Bluegrass Farmers Market or our Sunday Suppers. Open 6 days a week for lunch and every day for dinner.
All right, we're back. It's Food News and Chews Radio. Thanks again to Janet Patton from Kentucky.com.
She's always so good.
Absolutely. And she knows so much about what's going on.
Oh, I know.
Finger on the pulse of Lexington. Check her out on Kentucky.com. Let's do a little food news with Miss Sylvia Lovely. What's going on?
Well, for to begin with, Kim Davis is eating. Well, we want a ratings, right?
Oh, she should be eating more jail food.
Anyway,
I'd like to find out how the food in the Carter County Jail is.
Yeah. Hey, let's interview her. We'll get ratings, right?
I'm going to wait before we go anywhere near that place.
I know. I can't. I can't do it.
Okay,
oh,
well,
God.
Let's go on to some other news, okay? I'm just trying. I didn't want to bring up Trump.
No, you know, it's funny because I do another radio show, too, and it's impossible to go a day and not talk about her. And
I know. Well, that's what she kind of wants.
That's
what
I believe. That's what I think.
Anyway.
I'm not saying anything.
Let's go into stuff that's in stuff that ain't supposed to be in stuff, but it didn't happen that it didn't supposed to be in stuff until just now, okay?
A little confusing, but I totally understand what you're saying.
So say goodbye to ractopamine hydrochloride. Jeremy, you're the scientist.
Didn't he win a gold medal in the 70s for Berlin and for East Germany? I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Anyway, here's what it was. Huge, big thing. Additive given to animals, pigs in particular, weeks before slaughter to build muscle without having to feed them more. Going to be banned because, you know, you see all the stuff, no hormones, no antibiotics, fed vegetarian diet. Now this can be added.
See, I didn't even know about that.
No, me
either. How are we still alive? We ate all that stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of hidden stuff out there.
They don't know what it does to people.
And on the other flip side of it, too, you know, on big ag side or whatever, there could have been a very good use for it. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's a very good use for it other than bulk up your animals with some kind of hormone. But
yeah, I'll be honest,
that's
it sounds
scary
like good,
sounding stuff, man.
It sounds like something I'd like. If I could take something and just put on muscle without having to do anything else.
Well, that's
maybe,
what,
maybe
that's
y'all one, will all get real flabby now.
It's one thing I often think about in my mind, though, is there's a lot of health nuts out there that are really mad about, you know, antibiotics and hormones and things like that, but then they tell me what they take.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wait a minute.
You have no idea what this stuff does. And every 6 months, it's something totally new. Yeah.
Right. It's like you're basically, you know, eating hormones and you know, to bulk up, but you're
won't
a health
be in
food
your pigs
nut.
Anymore.
I'm going, well, I'm not going to say anything on that either. So. But yeah, that stuff sounds scary. So didn't we like stop Iran from making that, you know, so it wouldn't be able to make nuclear weapons?
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't even pronounce it, let alone spell it, let alone know what it is.
I'm pretty sure that's on like a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, you're right.
Like yellow cake or something.
Right. Exactly. Who knows what makes it yellow?
So it's really funny that there's all this stuff. Like you go to buy meat and you think, oh, meat is just meat. It's pure.
Yeah.
It's, and then you find out there's that stuff.
Sounds like rat poison.
Well, that's got too much meat in it for me.
But what's in it that we don't? So now we know about that, but how many are of that?
I know
that,
what else is in there.
Right, yeah. That we don't know.
Europe has banned it for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well. So here we
Why are we always Why are we always the industrialized nation?
It's called lobbyists in Washington.
You're exactly right. Because we really think about it, how many times have you heard the phrase, we are the only industrialized nation that blanks.
It's always like, us. Mr. Politician, if you'll let the, what was that called?
Recto.
Into the food system, then we'll fund your, you know, your lobby.
Right. When are we going to, I mean, it was like that way with the, I can't remember the chemical, but. The yellow in Kraft macaroni and cheese. We were the only industrialized nation that let it be in our food system.
It's like yellow dye number 6 or something, right? Same thing as a Mountain Dew.
The EU banned it like 20 years ago.
You know, we could have lived to be 150, you know, if we hadn't been eating all this stuff all of our lives. Hmm. But anyway, hey, there's some McDonald's news. You've got a piece and I've got a piece.
McDonald's is doing all-day breakfast. They announced that starting October 6th.
Thank you, McDonald's.
A lot of people happy about that. The thing is now we're finding out there's a catch to it. There's
What's the catch?
The catch is
I want
that,
an Egg McMuffin. By
well,
God.
That's the catch. Depending on where you live, only certain areas are going to get biscuits or McMuffins. They can't do both in the restaurants all day. So for after hours, some cities will get biscuits and some cities will have McMuffins.
Wonder where we are.
Have a feeling when they test marketed here last time, we were a biscuit city.
A biscuit city.
We were a biscuit city.
Well, yeah, we are. I mean, better be. Otherwise, I'll have to move down south a bit farther.
And you may not be able to get hash browns. My
what?
Thing was.
Oh, no. I thought that'd be kind of good. You know, like a Big Mac and a hash brown.
So why doesn't McDonald's give people what they want? I mean, they want to have all-day breakfast. That's a big, big profit center for them. But, yes, there's a catch.
Why?
I don't know.
That's
probably,
what I'm saying.
Probably,
there's got to be dynamics behind it we don't understand.
That's probably because they're having to pay more for eggs. They are now going to require, as a phased-in thing, that they will only buy eggs from hens that were not put in cages.
Really?
Yeah.
Now they're saying.
And it's amazing, guys, how many eggs McDonald's has.
You know,
like
I bet you
4% of the egg market, and they 4% of the 4.3, 0.56 billion eggs produced in the United States last year. Whoa.
So is this, you know, is that real? I'd like to have somebody investigate the sources. Just because, I mean, all right, maybe they're not in like a smaller cage, but they're probably in some form of huge cage. I mean,
well, it's one of those things that we've talked about this before. Certain phrases mean nothing or don't at least mean what you think they mean. So cage-free just, well, there's that the free-range thing. Where it just means that they can walk a little bit.
Yeah.
They allow chickens to move freely up and down tiers, whatever that means, and among nesting areas inside barns. That's the definition.
Okay.
So at least that sounds better than.
It'll take 10 years.
Still going to be like
little
just
chicks
a,
get a, kinda
a big building just chock full
flirt with
junk.
Roosters freely.
I've heard one of the speculations is that because of the looming egg crisis, which I don't think it ever came, but now they're saying because it's going to up the demand for the cage-free eggs that the prices are going to go up because McDonald's is going to need a lot more eggs.
Well, here's what this article, the timing of McDonald's announcement may be fortunate. Egg producers may convert barns still empty after the avian flu epidemic to cage-free operations.
So
they have empty space and they can create villas and
Villas.
Yeah, thanks for their little hints.
Chicken spas.
Chicken spas.
So, all right, back to eggs. One thing that I read this week I thought was very interesting is, all right, so we crack open a egg, right, and the yolk is?
Yellow.
Right. And so that's based on diet. You know, in the American farmland, you know, it's always been that way, bright orange, and that's due to grains in the feed. Well, in Japan, they now have white eggs. They're white all the way through.
What?
And they're feeding the chickens rice, so now the yolk is pure white.
Oh, really?
So I didn't realize that a yolk was based on the diet.
Does it taste any different?
I don't know. I've never had one, but it didn't sound like it tasted much different, or maybe it was a slightly sweeter. So, yeah, there's all...
Because it gets rice.
There's all white eggs now.
I was going to say it's un-American, but you said it was Japanese.
It is Japanese, yes.
The Japanese people will do a lot of very odd things with food. For instance, square watermelons. And they'll...
Square watermelons?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they grow them in a box.
They're like $800 a piece. Yeah. They're about $800 a piece. They taste exactly like
that's kind of interesting because then you can just... Because watermelons are really tough to cut.
And they don't roll in storage, and they stack better.
Yeah, okay.
But they're like $800 a piece.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're
that's
very expensive.
Family picnic, yeah.
I would have to pickle that just so it's around longer.
You know? I like that your first thought is, I've got to pickle
that. I've got to pickle it. It's got to last a while. For $800, man, you got to get a lot of that watermelon.
I just don't know that I could pay, but it's considered a status symbol. So I imagine the white eggs are like that, too. They're probably very expensive, but...
I don't know. Rice is pretty cheap, right?
You would think.
Maybe it's actually... Well, in fact, I think the point is they found a way to make buying eggs cheaper.
Yeah.
How do you know where the white starts and the yellow or...
I know. If you're going to, like... Right.
Right.
What are you separating?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And how do you, like, if you're going to have your eggs sunny side up, where's
you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
My meringues just never come out right
that
anymore.
That sounds very weird, man. Yeah. That's very, I don't know that I like that, actually. That's Frankenfood.
You want an egg white omelet or an egg white? Wait a minute.
Why is my cholesterol so high? All I'm eating is egg whites.
That's what you think.
One more story before we take a break.
We do, and this is important. Food safety rules are being tightened in light of the cucumber scare, salmonella.
That's kind of weird.
There was a law passed about 4 years ago, that's a food safety law, been real slow to implement, and the food people are going nuts, the people who want more additives taken out and stuff. Or more food safety rules and stuff. So they're now being tightened, though, not with produce, but in processed foods in particular. Really huge price, probably going to see the prices go up on food. Even though the cucumber story happened, it's not about cucumbers yet.
Oh, it's not. See, it baffles me what they're even going to do about this. Salmonella is, you know, there's like 40,000 instances per year, or 400,000 instances per year of salmonella, and that's only what's reported. They actually think it's more like 1.5 million.
Oh, I'm sure, because you probably never report if you get food poisoning.
But what's interesting is, you know, they're talking about cucumber outbreak here, and you know, salmonella comes from animal feces. Okay, I mean, that could have been a field worker or just an animal. But I mean, how exactly are you going to tighten regulations to stop natural occurrences like that? You know, what are they going to do?
Probably washing things, probably add more washing regulations.
Well, I do think a lot of the problem is we had this problem with Mexican cilantro.
And I don't even know, salmonella, it's like one of those bacterias, too. It's a, what do they call it, a rod? I don't know. But, I mean, even if you did wash it, I mean, doesn't it absorb into the...
Yeah, you can't just wash it off.
Right. So
you have to get up to 180.
Maybe why they don't have produce listed yet.
Well, like with Mexican cilantro, they banned that in the U.S. because...
These were Mexican cucumbers.
Part of the problem is the hygiene conditions for the people who are working the farms. They're not offered...
Yeah.
Right. They don't have basic plumbing. So they go, you know, they have to use the bathroom in the fields and they keep working, and that's how the cilantro outbreak happened.
Yeah. Well, salmonella is, I mean, people die from it. But typically, I mean, it's mostly people with weak immune systems or the elderly or children or, you know.
And we just hear more about this stuff now.
Yeah, we do.
It used to be that people would, you know, get sick.
I mean, honestly, you know, the way I handle food, I probably get it like 5 times a week. I don't know, just I'm immune to it now.
You're just used to it now.
I'm just used to it, yeah.
You have a super salmonella immune system.
I yes.
And you also glow in the dark.
Correct.
We're going to wrap up the show. It's another edition of Food News and Choose Radio, brought to you by Seaworth Superstore, your commercial culinary connection.
Food Food News and Choose here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start. Followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at Brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
Success in the hospitality industry calls for the right ingredients and the right preparation. Now you can prepare yourself for career success with a degree in hotel and restaurant management from Sullivan University. Learn from Sullivan's award-winning industry experts on campus or online and get the knowledge you need to manage a successful hospitality career. See how our associate and bachelor's programs prepare you to succeed at sullivan.edu. Success in the hospitality industry calls for the right ingredients and the right preparation. Now you can prepare yourself for career success with a degree in hotel and restaurant management from Sullivan University. Learn from Sullivan's award-winning industry experts on campus or online and get the knowledge you need to manage a successful hospitality career. See how our associate and bachelor's programs prepare you to succeed at sullivan.edu.
Food News and Choose Radio. We're going to wrap things up here in just a couple minutes. Thank you for listening on Facebook and Twitter at Food News and Choose. Same with a .com at the end for the websites. Every Tuesday, or by Tuesday, we put up the podcast of this week's show. So listen to it there. Miss Sylvia Lovely, are you doing Tai Chi now?
No, I'm not doing it, but I'm really investigating all this stuff. There's a whole big movement out
That's
there.
All we need is you doing Tai Chi.
During the slow
I'm giving
show,
up cooking, okay?
Very slowly.
Okay, mind-body connection. Here, okay. It's real important stuff. So meditation, mindfulness, and then there's all these things like Tai Chi. And that's really catching on, particularly now for those listeners that are more in my age category. You know, it's a great way to get exercise, and there's a session being offered by Joseph Beth on October 7th. And there's a really cool woman who conducts it, Cindy Allenblood. Is that a cool name or what? But Sente was a famous figure here in town several years ago, and he has kind of transformed himself. He's like in his 70s or something. He looks like very youthful. And, you know, eats right and how you kind of connect the body and the soul together. And so these are like five classes at 45 minutes each for $75. I think it's so cool. Anyway, you should call Joseph Beth to get information about this.
Tai Chi seems like exercise that's about my speed.
You know,
yeah, but it's slow.
Yeah, it's slow. It's slow movement.
It's exactly
not
it's
like
graceful.
Karate that's fast.
See, I'm over karate guys. Like, let's get this over with. Give me a block. I'm going to chop it in half. Let's go home.
Here's I'll tell you about about exercise that I just read, you guys.
What?
They say going to the gym three times a week is not nearly as effective as slow, constant movement.
Yeah, so, I think they're finding it wrong.
They're finding out going to the gym.
So my sloth mode is a good thing.
It's a good thing. They say you're
back
better
in style.
Off moving slow for longer. So basically walking to work than going to the gym.
Oh, that's
right,
a relief.
Yeah,
exactly.
Get my Ninja Turtle on then. Just slowly walk to work every day.
So Jeremy, now that we've talked about that, let's talk about food.
I'm ready to talk about food, right?
What's going on at the restaurant?
Something about turtle soup, I guess? Yeah. Never mind. What's going on at the restaurant? What isn't going on at the restaurant? I mean, it's always something. I guess, you know, it's kind of getting the fall time, so we changed up menus. It's kind of interesting, too. We have Breeders' Cup coming in. So, you know, it's a lot of people traveling from around the world, so we wanted to do menus that are kind of regional specific so people can experience what we have around here. You know, local produce, local foods, but also we had to make it worldly because people were coming in from all the world.
Big deal,
the world come in.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, one thing I'm loving right now is using locally raised pork, a good pork loin, a big pork chop that we've been brining in sweet tea, which is very southern, right?
Yeah.
But it, it goes on the grill, and then we're just mopping it with I call it ham jam.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
It's funky, man. So I'll take ancho chilies, which is a dried poblano pepper, and I'll take out half the seeds from those, and then I'll put them in water with about 40 cloves of garlic. I'm not even joking. About a pound of anchos to about 40 cloves of garlic, and cover that up with water, and just do a slow boil and rehydrate the peppers and make the garlic mushy until there's almost no liquid left. It goes into a blender with a jar of local blackberry preserves, along with a splash of sherry vinegar and some local honey from the Azure beehives, which we have hives for Azure honey. We'll blend that up, and it's basically this blackberry ancho chili kind of barbecue-y glaze.
Almost like a mole.
It has a lot of the same characteristics, a far, far fewer ingredients, and no chocolate at the end.
Yeah.
But, you know, you start basting this on a pork chop kind of the last 2 minutes, and it really kind of just gets sticky to the pork chop and kind of gets bubbly and burnt in some areas, but it's almost like gummy in your mouth and sticky to your teeth. And like I said, ham jam. It's so funky. And,
far removed from the red, hyper red glaze that people would put on. You remember that glaze people put on hams when they had that red?
I don't know, man.
It's red high fructose corn syrup.
Basically. Yeah, right.
This is the real whole food version of that.
Yeah, and it's just, you've got this smoky, anchos have a fruity undertone to kind of prunish. So you get the smoky, prunish, blackberry, sticky barbecue kind of glaze on it. And it's over top of, we call it a sweet potato, sweet corn home fries. And it's.
Is that on the menu now?
That's it is on the menu.
Yeah, that was good. We had it one night.
So good. So, we're basically starting, a cast iron skillet. And putting, a little bit of butter and a little bit of oil in there, too. I like the combination of butter and oil when I cook. Because
raise the smoke point, get the browning.
Yeah, you get the brown effect, you raise the smoke point, but then you have the earthiness of the oil and the buttery kind of creaminess mouthfeel of the butter, right? So that's good. But anyway, we throw in a little bit of habanero chili, a lot more raw garlic, and perfume that oil, then add a bunch of sweet corn kernels, and then diced sweet potatoes that have been, parboiled a little bit, and we just make this skillet hash of habaneros and corn and garlic and sweet potatoes, and that goes underneath that pork chop. And
this is a little soft, or are they fried?
They are soft. Mm-hmm. So, but being it's a cast iron skillet, and we do give them some good cooking, they kind of get a little crust on the outside, but they're still mushy and lovely on the inside.
It's kind of
I love hash.
This is a sexy hash.
Sexy hash was my nickname in college.
I'm stealing that. That's good.
Yeah, like Havana candle. Nights too at Brasabana. Come and learn salsa dancing.
Yeah. So another thing cool too is Havana Nights has been a series that we've been doing, and talk about something fun to do. You can come and we're going to be of course have Latin music. You can learn salsa dancing, but we're doing some half price drinks and apps and just kind of making this a fun party atmosphere because Cuban food and the theme of that restaurant it's kind of new to the area.
41 Lane Allen.
There's been other Cuban influences, but ours is kind of. Cars are kind of unique, so we want people
this
to come out and experience this.
When people ask me about it, I say it's Cuban kicked up.
It's Cuban kicked up. That's great.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Yeah, it was super fun evening there. So, and lots of stuff going. I talked about one menu item, and we're talking about we've got tons. But lunch menu is completely new as well at Azure. I'm loving that as well. Some great, great stuff. So,
and real quick, I know we're about to get out of here, but is Bourbon and Bets going back on?
Bourbon and Bets is coming up. We're going to do that the week of Breeders' Cup. And check this out. I've got an eclectic kind of four-course menu that we're pairing with bourbon. And Chris will be there from Woodford, the master distiller, who's going to be speaking about Woodford Reserve.
I went to the
bourbons.
Last one. It was great.
It's so cool. And then Ellis Starr, the handicapper. Mm-hmm. That's the day. It's on a Tuesday, the week of Breeders' Cup. I think October 27th, I believe it is.
I think so.
Okay, so.
Yeah, because Breeders' Cup is on Halloween.
Sorry, I'm like a week-by-week guy, and we got a few weeks before that happens. So, anyway, he'll be out there handicapping. That's the day the race picks come out for Breeders' Cup. So, you got a professional handicapper there to give you the race picks.
And you
for the
eat,
weekend.
And you drink, and it's fun.
And the world goes round.
Sadly, we hit the wrap of the show. Thank you guys for listening. Food News and Chews Radio, foodnewsandchews.com. It's been such a fun week. We'll see you guys at Azure and Brasbana and right here next week with Food News and Chews Radio.